This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 113. Tom, if we had decided once we hit 100 that we were going to say 101, 102,
yeah. We
would have said 113 and then it would have been unlucky. But we decided not to do that, so 113 is nothing.
Take that.
Yeah.
Begone expectations and supernatural heebie-jeebies.
In your face, poltergeist. Poltergeist.
Geist.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. I don't know.
Did you watch those movies?
Oh, a long time ago. I think I've seen two, maybe three.
I think I've seen two of them.
Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah.
I was too young.
Yeah, super frightening as a kid and probably now.
Fuck ghosts.
Yeah. Unless you're Slimer and then you're cool.
Yeah.
He is pretty messy though.
Are the people on The Good Life technically ghosts? No, they're spirits or souls.
But when they came back down to Earth, they were technically alive again.
Yeah. This is too big a question
but
for
we,
right now.
But we will be talking about The Good Place later.
Good.
On in the episode. We've got some watching suggestions. I've watched a couple of things, surprisingly, on Netflix.
Okay, sure.
And I got heaps of news and a would you rather instead of a quiz.
Oh, I would
done
rather.
Those. Yeah, just mix it up, you know.
Yeah.
Haven't done one for ages.
And now, a word from our sponsor. You may have decided this is the year you're going to become an award-winning author. There are things you need in order to do this. For example, a pen, pencil, notebook, or one of those techo personal computer things. Most importantly, you've got to have an idea that will bloom into a five-part book series, then a movie franchise, and finally a streaming TV show. But what happens if that acorn of a thought doesn't come to you? You need help, and we can offer it. Sign up to our Writer's Block workshop classes, tutorials, seminars, lectures, chanting sessions, and more. We also supply surgically implanted chips with hundreds of preloaded story suggestions. We know you have so many great ideas and we can wrench them out in not really a non-violent way out of your brain. Some probing may occur. Our trained nurse muses are ready to give you the key word that will have you coming up with the next War and Peace, otherwise known as War and Peace 2, Catch 23 and a half, and 51 Shades of Grey. Nothing but quality musing ideas here. 10% off with the promo code...
You said you've got a fair bit of news, so I reckon you should go first.
Okay, I've got so much news. So first of all, I'm going to just list off some of the renewals that I have seen.
Mm.
Okay. World According to Jeff Goldblum is
perfect.
Getting season two. That's for Nat Geo via Disney Plus.
Yep.
Very happy with that. The Walking Dead World Beyond, which is this new spin-off show, that's dropping on April 12th.
Is it going to be on straight after The Walking Dead?
I don't know if it's going to be the same night or the day after.
It's really close to it.
Yeah, they want it bunched in there.
Yeah. And that I believe, is only getting two seasons.
There's 10 episodes, I believe, in the first
season.
Okay.
I saw something that said this has got an end.
Yes. There's not going to be a...
No. It's not like 10 seasons long.
No, limited series type thing, which is good.
Yeah.
I forgot to write down the full title, but that Mythic Quest show that I was talking about last week, something Banquet or...
Oh, the one with
Raven's
the...
Raven's Banquet.
Always...
Yes, Always Sunny Guy. So that hasn't premiered yet. That kicks off next month. That's already being renewed for season two. They're
Ooh,
very excited
okay.
with that.
I did watch the trailer of that and it did look very fun. It's got an Aussie in it.
Yeah.
She sounded Aussie.
Yes, she's Aussie. Mm. And F. Murray Abraham, who was Amadeus.
Ah, okay.
Well, he wasn't Amadeus. He was... Solari. We got to watch that at school in year six and there were boobs.
What was the other one that No, we weren't allowed to watch, but we knew of the Roman emperor, the crazy one. He was all about debauchery.
Caligula?
Caligula. There was apparently some sort of, I don't think it was BBC, it was probably a movie.
Hmm.
And it was a bit racy because Caligula did crazy things and we weren't allowed to watch that in ancient history, but we were told about it.
Sure.
That it, of its existence.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got in a lot of trouble because I borrowed a movie to take from my dad?
No.
Oh, it was a rainy day. And I, you know, even at that age, I was pushing film recommendations on people. It was a rainy day. I knew this was coming. And my dad had been given a Christmas hamper. And there was some video, VHS in there. And I grabbed one of them and I said, oh, this looks good. He said, that's a great movie. You'll enjoy that. So I took it into school. It was Total Recall with Arnie.
It is a great movie. He's not wrong.
Yep. And so we're in year six, so everyone's about, I'll say, 12.
Yep. So around the PG time?
Yes, and this movie was rated R.
Was it really?
Yeah, the original version.
Okay.
Was a hard R rating. These days it would be MA at most.
Yeah.
You know, we got through the heads blowing up fine and all the
we
violent stuff.
We all know where this is going.
And then, baby, you make me wish I had three hands. And I got pulled out of the class and told off and it was going to escalate. And
had you seen the movie before?
No.
So that was your first? Okay, interesting. I used to take Absolutely Fabulous into school. I used to sit there and watch that. But it was like we were in year 11. We were pretty tight with the music teachers.
Sure.
And there was a studio, which was a tiny, basically old cleaner's closet. We were allowed to sit in there. Still, you know, you would have to take the TV, which was on the trolley thing with the video, and we would take that in and put the video on, and there were three of us, and we would sit there and watch that. And occasionally one of the music teachers would open the door and say, and this is our... So our year 11 students, year 7, they're just doing some musical study. Jennifer Saunders is, you know, saying something inappropriate in a drunken manner. We were like, yep, we are. And she just closed the door again.
Busy studying.
Walking off. So what do we get up to then? We were talking about renewals and somehow we got onto school.
Yeah, I don't remember. Staying with Apple TV Plus.
Mm.
In April, Spike Jonze has a Beastie Boys movie coming. Yep. I don't know anything more than that other than I'm in.
So do we – okay, so we don't know any if it's going to be doco or – I mean, I suspect it's probably a drama of some description.
I think
– doco would be good though.
I think it might be a doco. There might
like
be
that.
Some dramatized bits in there.
Kind of like that Mars. Do you remember that Mars show? That was,
but he was are there for plenty of it. You know, he made plenty of their music videos.
That's
and
true.
Was very tight with them all through the 90s and stuff. So I could see some pretty cool
stories.
Yeah.
Stories coming out.
Who knows? I don't, but I saw it was a thing and so I felt I should tell all of you.
Obligation.
And then my last one is a renewal, but it also leads into some Walking Dead news.
Oh, cool.
So we already knew that Ride with Norman Reedus mm-hmm. is getting a fourth season. Well, they've renewed it for next year for the fifth season already because AMC want to stay in that Norman Reedus business because the big stars on Walking Dead are falling, dropping like flies.
Yeah.
So they, I've seen a bit of footage. We're getting Michael Rooker, who is Merle, one episode with him.
He would be great. Those two would be amazing.
He is great.
Yeah.
He's awesome in everything. That will be very casual with one another. And there's also another episode with Ryan Hurst, who plays Beta. So it'll be interesting for plenty of people who haven't seen Sons of Anarchy to see what Beta's face is like.
And you know what? It's exactly what you think it's going to look like.
Yeah, a bikey.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Two other people on this season. I can never say his name right. It's another in that category. Milo Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia.
Yeah, who's on This Is Us and used to be on Heroes. He was Peter Petrelli.
I'm pretty sure he was also on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, he's gotten around. He's had a few stints.
Mm.
And also Clifton Collins Jr.
Who's Clifton Collins Jr. apart from someone who has an amazing name?
He does have an amazing name. Okay, he's in many, many things. And as soon as you see him, you're like, oh, that guy. So on Ballers, he's the dodgy private investigator they use from time to time. On Westworld,
mm-hmm.
he's the guy that Ed Harris keeps hogtied and marches around in the first season. Yeah. So he's a fantastic character actor and just always brings the thunder. He's amazing in Crank High Voltage. Crank 2.
High Voltage. Makes you think of that song.
Danger. Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. And then there'll be more of those episodes coming next year. So, yeah, they want to keep this show going because it gives him something to do in the downtime. And
it also just lets viewers know how many people in Hollywood like to ride motorbikes.
Yeah.
I know Ryan Reynolds does. Could get him on. That'd be a big one.
I'm sure they don't have the budget.
Yeah. But still, that'd pay for itself, that episode.
I have noticed that he tends to go with friends, people that he's got some connection with, which is good, but doesn't always go the comedians. He tends to try and get more dramatic actors and this sort of stuff and get them to come out of their shell a little bit, which is pretty cool.
As a conversationalist, I would think probably having your friends on would make it easier.
He's a really good listener. Like he'll ask a question and then sit back and let the conversation take place. And it's pretty cool way to run the show.
He's done the Michael Parkinson school of interviewing.
Yeah. Mm. Get them to talk. Mm. What have you got?
Well, saw sort of a renewal in that Apple TV's The Morning Show.
Yes.
I think Jennifer Aniston won
an award.
An award
at
for
the
it.
SAG
Award? Yeah, this earlier this week. Anyway, it's getting a second season, but we still don't know if Steve Carell's going to be in it. There's no update about his contract talks.
Sure.
They do want him on there because I was reading something, I think it was from one of the showrunners saying that they want him back on season two. This was the quote: "We would very much like him to be in it, and I think that continuing the story with him is actually really important. It's not about a comeback, it's about something else." So it kind of sounds like it's not going to be a redemption arc if he can be on season two. And because his character's storyline is that he got done for sexual assault or harassment or something like that. And that's why he gets taken off the show and Reese Witherspoon gets put on. But anyway, the continuation of his character's storyline sounds interesting.
Okay.
Second
maybe
season.
He goes to jail. Maybe he's in court a lot. It's Harvey Weinstein.
It's very topical. Very topical. I did see another casting that made me think, oh, yeah, they're at it again, these guys. So Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro are going to be in a Martin Scorsese movie next year called Killers of the Flower Moon. And I went, oh, yeah, those three have probably done like 400 movies together and 800 movies Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese have done together, and Leonardo and Martin Scorsese have done thousands of movies together. So combined, it would be millions of movies together.
They haven't done one.
They've done one short called The Audition for Martin Scorsese, where they both happen to be in it.
Right.
But they have never acted in a Martin Scorsese film together as leads. In my head, I was just like, yeah, they're the two actors that he always picks. I can't believe that it's 2020 and we're only just getting it now. So it's going to be based on one book. I think it's just one book called Killers of the Flower Moon, and it's about sort of the birth of the FBI. It's about murders in a wealthy county called Osage County, Oklahoma. Murders of wealthy people there. All about oil deposits and that kind of thing in the early 1920s. And
also it's kind of a little bit after There Will Be Blood, that sort of...
Yeah, okay. That kind of thing. And if you remember, Leonardo DiCaprio has already played J. Edgar Hoover, so I'm... Not sure where. Anyway, it sounds very much like a movie that all of those three people would be involved in.
I look forward to people telling me I should watch it.
Yes.
Well, for a guy that's got a problem with Marvel movies and making them serialized and getting people to come back for reasons other than the movie, he tends to work with the same actors a lot.
All the time.
So isn't he just doing the same thing? Apparently his daughter gave him Christmas presents wrapped in Marvel Studios.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I did that one year.
Just got to get a bit catty with it.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
In some news that's big, but whatever, Disney have dropped the name Fox from 20th Century Fox.
I saw that. Now, was 20th Century and Fox two separate things back in the olden days, or has it always been 20th Century Fox? Or is it Searchlight that was put onto it?
So Searchlight that was added.
Okay.
I think they were separate entities at one point, but Fox was not included in the name until 25, 30 years ago or something, okay. something like that. So it is breaking up something that's not been there forever, but it is a big, you know.
Yeah. They really have taken Fox and decided to absorb it so much so that it is no longer a thing.
Well, it's a very clever business strategy because they didn't get Fox News. They don't want Fox News. They don't want to be associated with Fox News in any way. Fox News leans very right. Disney as an entity leans left. So by scrubbing the name Fox, they get all the stuff without any of the issues.
That's clever.
Yeah, I think that's what I think that's got to be all it boils down to.
And that so Disney owns the majority of Hulu, right?
Yes.
Over in the US. And I think when Hulu started, Fox was just one of the companies that owned Hulu. I think it was it was three or something like that. So it was Fox, maybe something like ABC over in the US, something like that, and another one. And then when Disney bought Fox, they ended up having the majority.
It's because Disney owns ABC. So they already had that third. And then by buying Fox, they got the second, third. They have majority share. And then I can't remember
who the other one is.
It might be Comcast. It's someone else in the mix. And there's some talk that they're doing a like-for-like trade rather than sale.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Something like that.
Which is why they get that nice bundle over in the US where if you buy Disney Plus, then you either get, if you've already got Hulu, you get a nice deal or it's a discount, something like that.
And if you're through AT&T, then you can add it to your monthly package simply and all this sort of stuff. And
I like those sort of deals because as a consumer, you can work something out nice for yourself.
It'll come back to that in the same way that Foxtel was a big deal when it launched because suddenly you've got all these channels and they're all through one provider.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get sick of 200 different streamers.
Absolutely.
When you buy one that provides everything, they'll go for that.
Look, speaking of Fox, there was a story, I think it was last week, about Hank Azaria.
Yes.
Deciding, although he had decided before that he wasn't going to voice Apu in The Simpsons anymore, the Quickie Mart owner.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it anymore. There's no word on if they will cast someone else for the role or if the character's just going to get retired. I kind of feel like maybe the character will get retired, even though it's a big character. They would want someone of that ethnic background, but then to have that actor doing that accent again, it's just too messy. I think
having been an accident and lose his tongue. There you go. Keep your character. He doesn't talk. He can just be in the background. I don't know. Use him like, was it Harpo Marx? Was that the one that the one that used the? If they need to keep that character, which they don't,
it doesn't serve.
Have him leave town. He moves away. Or have him get Maud Flanders and he gets killed.
That's right. We've had characters where that has happened. So, yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe they get someone new. They should get Poochie to run the Quickie Mart.
Be all right.
Hey, it's the hip new cool Quick Easy Mart.
Easy Mart. And it just goes to show you how long that show has been around for. Because back in the day, that was not a problem.
No.
It just was, that's a character.
Yeah.
That's a different character on this show. And now it's like,
And they're not like South Park. Like South Park could keep making those jokes because they've committed to it. Whereas, Simpsons has not moved away from that.
No.
I was very excited to see one news story this week that initially looked a bit confusing to plenty of people, but I can help unpack it a little bit.
Okay.
So Oscar Isaac is going to be playing a character called the Mayor.
Can you please explain this? Because I saw this as well and I was like...
Okay.
Ugh.
So there's a fantastic comic series called Ex Machina. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan, who's the guy that writes Saga. He wrote tons of great stuff for Marvel. I'm forgetting a bunch of his...
You can shout them out halfway through the podcast.
He was a writer on Lost, and he wrote on season three with some of the time travel episodes that weren't really time travel, it was mind travel type thing, but really big concepts, and he's an adored writer and stuff. Anyway, so this story that he wrote called Ex Machina is not one of his most famous, but it's the best way I can describe it is superheroes mixed with the West Wing. Mm. And it's about a guy who... Imagine someone who made a Iron Man rocketeer-style jetpack suit in their basement.
Mm.
and had been trialing it for a couple of weeks and contemplating trying to intervene in some crimes and was test piloting it on the morning of September 11.
Right.
And managed to divert a plane.
Right.
And then this story is 3 years later when he's decided to run for mayor.
Of New York?
Of New York.
Huh.
Because his identity was known. Like, he became a big hero because of this, and people talked him into going into politics. If you've enacted change in the world, it's time to try and do that in a political sense. And it's about someone who has these very strong morals but is hiding some really hardcore secrets and is not cut out for the public eye whatsoever. And it's a really, really interesting story. And there's, as I say, it's very West Wing and very, very adult and deals with some very mature topics and stuff like that.
It sounds interesting. It's going to be a movie?
Yes. And so...
it's so confusing though.
So the show is going to be called The Great Machine. And in the series, he's called... his superhero...
So his superhero's name... So they're not using... Ex Machina.
No, because he was already in a movie called Ex Machina.
Because when I saw the headline, it was something like, oh, Ex Machina comic adaptation with Oscar Isaac. And I was like,
yes.
Huh? What? This has already been done before.
The suit and stuff, he may have tried to interface with at some point. Like, if I'm trying to be cagey around this because I don't know what direction, but part of the story is that this guy who's meant to be a bit of a beacon of humanity maybe isn't quite as human anymore. May have accidentally blurred the line between himself and tech. And it's to as when he's in power, as that starts to come out.
It's so interesting that he is in this movie where you're talking about, particularly this last little bit.
There's so
when he
much,
was in the other movie.
Yes, there's so much ladders back to other things that he's done in his career that is this. He's the perfect guy for this role.
It's almost like that they, in order to pitch to the public who don't know about the comic book, they almost need to not say Ex Machina.
Yep.
They just need to now start That's saying, what was it called?
The Great Machine.
The Great Machine. They just need to say that.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's going to get too confusing.
And as good as this comic is, this is you do not need to read this to see and enjoy this, I'm sure. It's, I don't know, it's very adult. It's not superhero stuff.
Okay.
Even though there's superhero stuff in there, it's flashbacks to that day and the period of learning and stuff, but it is more dealing with political shit.
Yeah, interesting.
Having an awful
what
time
an interesting
of it.
Premise.
It'll be fantastic. One that we should just both high five briefly for, we were talking about next Bond movie singers last week.
Yeah.
Did we say the name?
We didn't actually. We said it.
Was it afterwards?
We said it on social media.
Yeah. We were like, hey.
It was literally a few hours later.
Eilish. Yeah. And then like 3 hours later, it got announced that it was her.
Yeah.
So well done us.
I know. We nailed that.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Any trailers?
I do have some trailers. Do you have any more news? No? Okay. So I've got two trailers. One is for a film called Guns Akimbo.
I saw that preview.
Yes, please. That's me.
Did I not? I mustn't have sent it to you. I must
you
have assumed
send,
that you would have found it already.
Daniel Radcliffe. Reality show. He wakes up with guns bolted into his hands and he has to kill the leading assassin on the show to stay alive. All right. It looks trash.
And he wants to team up with her and she may not be on board with that. Him trying to not only undo like a door handle with guns on his hands and then trying to put pants on with guns in his hands, that alone made me intrigued to watch this because you know he's going to accidentally shoot those guns whilst trying to do something mundane.
I love the life that both he and Elijah Wood get to have of just they start in these huge series and now they can just do whatever the fuck they want. Like
and people be cool with it.
This new series of miracle workers is ridiculous. The first one was Steve Buscemi as God. This one, Steve Buscemi's like the bring out your dead guy.
Yeah, right.
And
from like the Black Plague or whatever.
From Monty Python.
Oh, right.
He's out there bell ringing and
yeah,
this in the streets.
Right.
And Daniel Radcliffe is the king's son and he's worried about living up, like he's a prince worried about living up to his father's expectations and all this sort of stuff. It looks really funny. But again, weird choice.
Weird choices. Well, I mean, even... This is a few years ago now, but listening to the first Footnotes episode of My Dad Wrote a Porno, because I always have a guest on the footnotes, and it was Elijah Wood, and I thought they were joking. But no, it was him, and he just wanted to be on it because he liked the podcast, and he was just there.
He's such a dude.
Have those two been in something together?
No, and it's a running joke. Like they've pitched ideas around. They've gone on talk shows to pitch ideas.
Surely it's going to happen one day,
right?
They're
going to play brothers.
And they both have to wear Converse sneakers.
Oh, I'm telling you now, the reason why it doesn't happen is because there's Hollywood executives that would worry they would cancel each other out.
Really?
Yeah, they're so similar. The star power might weaken or something.
So it almost has to be a limited series on a streaming site where the story is so incredibly quirky that it doesn't really matter that it's the two of them. Look,
honestly, it feels like the sort of thing that would get thumbs up if Netflix somehow got the rights for Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter at the same time and we're like, oh, we're going to debut these in 6 months. Let's get a show with the two guys together. That's money, money.
And they would say, well, we just happen to have a few ideas.
Yep.
Got them up their sleeve.
The other one that I'll briefly mention is Morbius, which is the Sony vampire film in the Spider-Man universe.
Who's this got in it?
Jared Leto.
That's right. I also think since he was the Joker, I think people have gone a little off him.
I agree.
But, okay,
this looks kind of cool.
Okay.
I thought he's a F-list character at best, Michael Morbius. So he's a great geneticist or biochemist or something like this who was messing with a serum to try and improve something with his own blood and accidentally turned himself into like
a superhero.
He's called the living vampire. Okay. So he's not a dead guy. He craves blood. Doesn't have to be human. Doesn't have to be sucked from the neck so he can live off blood banks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very tragic character that keeps trying to fix the serum by shooting up a new serum that makes it worse.
Okay, great.
So he gets more and more monstrous as things progress. But the reason why people are talking about this trailer is that there's one shot that he runs through an alley and there's graffiti on the wall, a picture of Spider-Man, and someone has graffitied murderer over it, which ties in very closely to the end of Far From Home. And then the trailer ends with Leto walking past Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Who was in the first Spider-Man Homecoming as the bad guy and has been in jail since then, saying something to him. And it doesn't clearly explicitly say that this is Adrian Toomes, the Vulture, the bad guy from the first film.
But
it really, they're doing the interconnected thing.
Mm.
And this is moving towards what I've talked about before with Sinister Six of having six bad guys in a film together. It's cool.
So if anything, regardless of what people think of Jared Leto now as an actor, these tie-ins with previous storylines and storylines moving forward.
All of a sudden, this is a film you have to see.
Yeah.
Because they've got Venom coming later in the year.
Yep.
And this will tie to Venom somehow.
Okay.
I don't think we'll see Tom Holland in this one. But if you can get Michael Keaton playing the Spider-Man role, that's enough. That does the job.
Oh, cool.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
We will talk about The Good Place soon.
Yes.
Because we've got a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But let's have a talk about some stuff that we've been watching.
Let's do it.
Some watching suggestions.
Watching. I'll do one quick, and this is a follow-up to something that Mick recommended a few weeks ago, Parasite. I've been dying to see this one, the South Korean film from Boon, the director of Snowpiercer.
Yes.
It was every bit as good as I was hoping for.
Oh, that's
good. You need to see this movie. I purposely did not find out about going in there. There's a reason why it's called Parasite. Don't find out anything.
Okay, I won't find out.
It is a very dark comedy.
It is one of the front runners now for Best Oscar. Best Picture at the Oscars.
The cast won at the SAG Awards, won the Best Film Cast, first foreign film to ever do that. They're so good.
They are?
It's so good.
Okay.
So I'm. This is the very rare occasion I don't want to go into any detail on, other than saying I really enjoyed it and I would highly recommend it.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Well, I've got a quick follow-up one. I've watched a few extra episodes of Patrick Melrose, that show talking about on... that is on iView. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Cumberbun,
I always want to say.
Cumberbubble.
Yeah, even better. And you know how you were like, wow, it sounds really dark. I'm like, yeah, but it's a bit quirky. Yeah, then it got really dark. Second episode, I was like, oh, this is.
Yeah. I read reviews and stuff, so I knew where it was going.
It's based on a real story. So, and this guy did not have a fun time
not a fun
growing
time.
Up at all. But it's still very good. And it's not a show I'm going to watch back to back. It's like Handmaid's, do not watch them back to back.
Dip in.
Yeah. One every few days and then get out again. It is very good. It's heavy, but it's very good.
Nice. Mm.
Something a bit lighter?
Oh, I was going to say something that is lighter but then got a bit heavy. So you know I love my Joe Parrot Talks to You.
Yeah.
So I was gutted this week because it hit episode 10 and the episode ends in such a way that I thought it was the end. But it's not.
It's not the end?
There's at least four more episodes coming, thank goodness, because so I've told you before it's a very slow-paced show and they do interesting things.
And you find it relaxing, like it's the show that you like to watch just as you're going to bed.
Yeah, not to put me to sleep, but just to calm me. Everything's at a very slow pace. Here are some of the episode titles of this season. As I told you earlier that we were going to be tracking his progress growing beans, so he's talked to him about beans. Some of the great ones is Joe Parrot Takes You to the Grocery Store. Joe Parrot goes to Dave Wojcicki's bachelor party with you, gives you piano lessons, watches internet videos with you, has a surprise for you. And then the last episode was Joe Parrot helps you write an obituary.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so we've been following the progress of the beans all season. Yeah. It's been really upbeat and great. And then two episodes, the beans came through at night.
Oh, nice.
And they went out, picked them first thing in the morning and was celebrating. And Joe was so excited that he kept that momentum going that day. And he cleaned his cupboard and he found $115 in coins, took them to the bank, got them turned into cash.
Amazing.
And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to drive. I'm going to find a locker. I'm going to put a balloon in that locker and I'm going to put the cash in there. And then he came back and told all his friends that he's got a competition.
It's like Rat Race.
And that's exactly what someone said. It's like Rat Race. And he says, yes, Rat Race. I saw that movie for the first time last week and I thought it was great, so I thought we'd do a Rat Race. And most of his friends are like, fuck off. It's $115. I'm not driving 3 hours return to get that. Anyway, a few of them get really excited and duck off and
positivity.
Do that.
Positivity.
And the rest of them are sitting around and all this sort of stuff. And then Joe gets a call. And like the episode basically grinds to a halt and Joe runs out of shot and is left with the other characters for a while. And then we go to the hospital and Joe's grandmother, who he's really close to, has died.
Oh.
And just the momentum goes from the show anyway.
What?
10 minutes later.
Yeah.
So it's after a really serious episode. Two of the guys who'd gone on the rat race come charging into the house. Yeah, we did it, everybody. We're it. $150. Joe, you're the best. You're the best. Picking him up, shaking him around.
He's just lost his grandmother. It's the highs and falls of life, isn't it, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, the next episode is How to Write an Obituary. It ends with one of the most poignant moments I've seen in a while, and I'll happily say it had me cry.
Aww.
He had been clearing out his grandmother's house with his girlfriend, and he wanted to be left alone at home for a bit, and he was. He went to go to the fridge to get something to eat, and his girlfriend had found some of his grandmother's meatballs that she'd made in the freezer, and she had pre-prepared it and just said, put this in the microwave. It will be no good tomorrow. Enjoy some time with your grandmother.
That's so nice.
And then there's just 2 minutes of him sitting there crying.
Just eating his meatballs.
Eating, and I just sobbed. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's really nice.
And he smiled through it. Like that was.
It was a nice.
It was him
sadness.
Celebrating. But that's something anyone who has dealt with grief can relate to, that sort of moment. And to find that in a weird throwaway 11-minute episode Comedy Network cartoon or whatever.
Oh. It's such an interesting program.
It's so weird. Anyway, I've just noticed there's more episodes. So Joe Parrot shows you how to do good fashion. I don't believe that for a second. Shows you how to pack lunch and talks with you on the first day of school.
Okay. Fantastic. Why
I have
wouldn't
no
you?
Idea what the episode's going to be actually
first
about.
First day of school. Yeah. It has to be the end of summer.
Yeah.
So the beans have already grown and there's some kid in the neighbourhood.
It might be dealing with, because his neighbours have slowly been.
Oh, that's right.
The thing we talked about on air, but yeah, their relationship falls apart in the background of each episode and stuff, and that's really come to the front now.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, there's all this really heady adult shit on a show that's really about a guy talking about beans or mineral deposits or.
What an interesting way of telling stories, though. Like the style of storytelling is nothing like I've heard before. I was trying to last week. You were, maybe it wasn't on the podcast. Maybe it was just us chatting.
I think it was after the show.
I think
I was
so excited. Yeah. And you were like, yeah, it's just such a nice, relaxing show. And I've seen a couple of bits on YouTube and whatnot, but I haven't watched a full show. And I was thinking, yeah, that's the kind of show that I would like. And then there was a little flash in the back of my mind. And I was like, I feel like I've enjoyed a program similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it just before we started recording.
And did you find out what it was?
Yes. So it was a Canadian show.
Right.
And I remembered that. And I was trying desperately to get you to remember it, even though the chances were that you didn't. So it was set in a small town where it was all set in the gas station, the service station of this small town in Canada. And you'd see the locals coming in and out. And it was a comedy, but it was like a, well, for me, it was a relaxing comedy late at night. And I couldn't remember the name of it. And you're like, oh, when was it set? I'm like, oh, early 2000s. And I eventually, this is how good Google is now. I typed in Canadian comedy, small town, gas station, and it came up with, do you mean the show Corner Gas from 2004 to 2009? Similar sort of show where the same people come in and out because it's a small town. Everybody goes to the service station to grab stuff. You'll see some travellers going through and they're only in it for that one episode and then they're gone again. And I was like, I hadn't even thought about that show for years until you started talking about Joe Pera. Because it's just one of those shows that you just sit there and...
There's so many that if you actually went back through and just that you've forgotten that are shows that are a comfortable blanket.
They were the kind of shows that were on late at night and you were really happy that you watched it, but if you missed out, it didn't really matter. And then when you watched it, you realised that not really much happened, but it didn't matter because that's what you wanted.
Yep.
Those shows,
this
brilliant.
Has taken that format and made stuff that you want to know more about happen in the background and not give you enough detail.
Yeah.
And that's great.
It's very clever.
It's like they gave Bob Ross a narrative program. Like he's that same vibe of everything's really positive, but everything kept quite mellow because this dude's clearly seen some shit in his past. You know, Bob Ross was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff. And he did this to – he said that he did a painting to escape –
I bet he did.
Bad thoughts and everything like that. So this is what this character feels like.
All the time.
There's just so much stuff going on around him that he's not oblivious to. It's almost like he's Canadian. You don't chime in on someone else's family problems.
And if you do, you say sorry.
That's right.
Be sorry.
Apologetic about it.
I was watching a show over the New Year, sort of after Christmas, New Year period that was on Netflix. And it was one of those shows that... You know, well, when you're sick from school and you're mid to late teenagers-ish, maybe, I don't think this applies to boys though, but if there's one of those midday movies that are really bad, like your Hallmark movies.
Sure, yes.
And you're like, I would never watch this, but I am sick. I don't want to leave the lounge. I don't want to get invested in anything because I may fall asleep. I'm going to watch this. And the show was on Netflix and it's called Virgin River. And it's exactly that. Nothing really happens. All the storylines where they lead, you know they're going to lead because that's the tried and true tested storyline. And you just happily watch it because it's a warm blanket.
Sure.
When you're not doing anything, when you're sick, feel a bit down. So basically it's a nurse. She goes to a small town called Virgin River, and she's from LA, and all the locals are like, you're a hotshot LA girl. Why would you ever be out here? She's like, I'm not telling. And then you get little bits of flashback, and you're like, oh, well, I know the flashback story without you even saying it. And she meets the bartender, the guy who owns the bar, and he's got a bit of a background as well. He might be suffering from some post-traumatic stress disorder, and oh, but he's just such a nice guy, but they're just friends or whatever. And that's the whole season.
Right. Basically sounds like True Blood, but no vampires.
Yeah, but with no humor either.
Oh.
True Blood was a bit quirky.
It was funny.
It didn't have that. This is just like the Hallmark, easy to watch.
I watched
a whole entire show. I can't believe I did it.
It feels like not now, but maybe 2003 or 2005, James Marsden would have started.
Yes, exactly that. No, it had
like pre-Enchanted, before he showed everyone he was funny, when he only got to play like Cyclops in really serious roles. That's, yeah, I get what you're getting. Yep. Mandy Moore.
Yeah, Mandy Moore would have been in this. Mm.
Was it a Christian message film?
No, but
I just thought by Virgin Rose,
yeah,
I thought it might have been.
It really should have been. But it had Martin Henderson.
Oh, okay.
Who I always thought was Aussie, but is actually from New Zealand.
Oh, he's still one of us.
Yeah, because he was in...
You leave New Zealand, shows. You're ours.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. So Virgin River, if you have got a few days off and you feel sick, watch it. Just make you feel all right.
Sure.
Or you can watch Joe Parra.
Or you can watch that or Making It. Or there's so many things.
So many other
that
things.
Are just comfortable.
So many other. It was such a... Yeah, it was very much of that time
sure.
where you've got some time off, but you're not doing anything.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Look, the other one that I will talk about this week is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It's all wrapped up.
Which was the big Arrowverse crossover. There's still two episodes of Arrow left to go before it is done forever, completely. And the other shows this week are kicking off the rest of the back half of their season.
Batwoman.
Yes, she's back.
She was part of that because I saw some headlines that in the show her character is out. Like she has declared she's a lesbian.
Correct.
Okay.
So I haven't watched Batwoman. I just know that it's going, like I watched earlier in the season, but there's just too many.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that universe at the moment.
So Crisis on Infinite Earths is the big crossover that happened in the 80s, and it's very famous because it's one of the first line-wide reboots that ever happened in comics.
Right.
And it was a big event where all the multiverse was dying off and it was coming back to one key Earth, and then by the end there were seven people left, and that's it, seven heroes left, and this is what happened on the show. And through events... they managed to fight off the evil.
Flash met Flash.
I'll get to that in a moment.
That was a big thing on the internet.
That was a big thing. But they managed to kind of restart the universe, but it's different. And it's only the people that were at the very end that remember they had to go back to a battle at the beginning of time, as you do, when the Earth was being
fought. I hate when that happens.
But the big thing, and if you've read comics, this is what you were expecting as the outcome from the show, but the big thing is all these shows are now on the same planet. They're in the same universe, including Black Lightning.
Oh,
so Black Lightning got folded in.
That was part, which was, yeah, right.
And that's a really different tone.
Mm.
And like, it creates some problems moving forward of why these white powerful superheroes don't show up to help this small town dealing with really racist white government officials trying to bring
black
heroes down.
We got our own problems.
So there's issues from that. But
yeah, right.
This week, Batwoman and Supergirl have already made the most of it. So Batwoman was in her own universe. Supergirl was off in her own universe. They've all crossed over in the past and stuff. But now they're all within the one. So there was a shot at the very end of the crossover of Batwoman hanging out at Supergirl's apartment, sitting on the couch next to Supergirl's sister, who is a lesbian.
Right.
And it was nothing more than like, hey, this storyline's about to ramp up. And then sure enough, this week she goes to Kara, Supergirl, who is a journalist, the same way Clark Kent is, and decides to use her to out herself as I am a queer superhero.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest, coolest thing moving forward. So the three episodes that at the end of the episodes that aired last year, the seven that were left were the Paragons. And they were the Paragons of truth, hope, justice, love, all this emotions and stuff.
Yep.
So at the last second, Superman, which was Brandon Routh, basically gets ripped apart from the inside and disappears, and Lex Luthor climbs out of his body. And it turns out that Lex had this Book of Destiny type thing and opened it up at the last minute and scrawled his name over the top of Superman's. So he changed the plan. So at the end of, like, at the beginning of time, this battle, he helps and like gets a taste for being a hero and stuff. And they all have to, you know, join hands and basically Care Bear stare to restart the universe while Lex changes things. The rest of them bring things back as they were, and he changes things to
little bastard.
Well, Supergirl episode, he gets awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and everyone loves Lex Luthor now. He's the best person on Earth.
Really?
He's like, yeah, Madame Teresa rolled into Mark Zuckerberg type thing. It's insanely clever.
And but with the Flash meeting Flash.
Yes, so that was a secret from even people that were in the show.
Oh, really?
They actually filmed that after the show was wrapped, and like it was set ready to go to air, and the bosses of Warner Brothers hit up people over Christmas and said, hey, listen, if we can get Ezra, who's Flash in the Justice League film, if we can get him on board, would you be willing to put him in the show. And they're like, hell yeah. And they're like, aren't you finished? And they're like, we will find a place for this. And it was just a very small scene.
It would have been no more than 1 minute that I saw.
Yeah, it was probably 35, 40 seconds, somewhere around there. Mm. It wasn't long, but it was so perfect with the two of them touching each other's face, geeking out and being Barry Allen, who's in DC's version.
That's right.
Of Peter
they're
basically,
I'm Barry Allen. No, I'm Barry. Yeah.
And I'm the Flash. That's a good name because in that continuity of where we see Ezra Miller's Flash, he's not known as the Flash yet. All this sort of stuff. It was brilliant. And like as soon as it went, as the episode aired, Gustin Grant, who plays Flash, put up a picture of the two of them together. And Melissa, who plays Supergirl, comments like, oh my God, how did you do that? I'm in this with you and I didn't know this was coming. Am I the only one that didn't know this was coming? And then all the other actors chimed in like, we didn't know.
That's so cool.
And so what they did is Arrow, who had already finished filming their everything, they managed to get a few of those guys to come back a couple of days afterwards and film in secret and like smuggled Ezra into the set and no one noticed him and all this. Everyone kept
That's
quiet.
So sneaky.
Was such a fun because a lot of the other ones they'd announced ahead of time, Burt Ward playing Robin yep. again, all this sort of stuff. But to keep one from the Snyderverse
yeah.
movies
that you would not suspect
of anyone they could get in those films, getting the Flash to come on and approve of TV Flash, who I don't care about Ezra Miller, he's not Flash, that guy is Flash, he's perfect. Mm. To have him come on and approve of each other was a really nice move. It was a great fun crossover.
Super
did it all
fun.
Did it all work? No. Does it ever work? No. They're trying to do
it's a lot.
Avengers Endgame level on 5 TV shows budget.
Yeah, that's difficult. And also just logistically, yep. it's not one movie.
No. So like Black Lightning, I say he's in it. He's in 4 minutes of one episode and two of another and this sort of stuff. And every time there's a great big battle, for some reason it happens in a gravel pit.
Why would that happen?
CGI. It's much, much easier to green screen around grey.
It kind of reminds me of back in the day where like the 60s and 70s or even 80s, they would film stuff like out in the bush, except yeah. it was just behind the studios.
If you go back and check out the Power Rangers stuff, the early stuff,
yeah.
there are always shots of the bad guy when he first appears of someone at the bottom of a quarry filming someone two like levels up in the quarry, like peering down. It's just the back lot.
It was the easiest, yeah. was cheapest way I to do it.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Another thing I've started watching, I'm about halfway through the season, is the second season of the Netflix program Sex Education.
Sure, I had seen that it was out.
Yeah, and I don't know why I really like this season because I was thinking about it, maybe I was about 3 or 4 episodes in, I thought it doesn't have the premise that the first one does because the first one is Gillian Anderson's son, so she's like a sex therapist.
Yes.
Her son is giving out sex therapy and advice to students at his school and he's really good at it even though he himself has got some pretty significant hang-ups mm-hmm. and that's the premise. That premise is not – it's kind of there but not really in the second season, but I think it's because you know the characters more.
Sure.
That the storylines can now hang from different characters.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm still totally confused as to the style choice where it so clearly looks like it's set in the late 80s, early 90s, but it's not a set now.
Yeah.
Because they've got mobile phones and everything. Every stylistic choice from the clothes to like even homes, bathrooms and kitchens, they all look off a particular era. It's really weird. It was very bright and colourful.
Nice.
But I don't know why. Yeah, and it's really good. I'm halfway through and I will watch till the end.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like Gillian Anderson as well. It's a very different character for her. She does this weird thing with her neck and I don't know why she does it, but I now know that when she does that, she's being that character. It's okay. not something Scully would ever do.
It's a neck thing.
She like sticks it out and up. Yeah, kind of like that. So out and up and she looks concerned and worried about things.
Oh.
Yet she's a really calm character most of the time. Unless her current boyfriend's drilling holes in walls while she's giving classes of lady bits. I hate it when that happens. It always happens.
He's always drilling.
Always. What else have you been watching?
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I agree.
That's a lot of things.
That's a lot of things. And we still have to talk about The Good Place.
We do.
It's back 2 episodes in from, well.
Two episodes left, isn't there?
I know.
I think. Maybe the last one's a double.
It's going to be longer, isn't
yeah.
it?
I think there's a 45 or something, yeah. And then there's an after show special.
I'm going to be so sad when it ends.
Me too.
Where we left it, they were in a hot air balloon, a cold hot air balloon, seemingly on their way to The Good Place, which they're not going to be.
I don't trust that one bit.
It's
all wrapped up way too nicely at this point.
Because even somebody, I think Michael may have said, no, this is for real this time. You're actually going to, we're going to The Good Place.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I was like,
and it all happened so quickly as well.
I mean, maybe we are next week's episode is called Patty. I look forward to meeting who this Patty is.
Patty is.
Patty's God, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Do you know who I really want to see before it wraps up? I want to see Nicole Byer again.
Me too.
Was it you? No, I think it was Tidy. Watched most of that episode that she was in without even realizing it was her. It wouldn't have been you. It was Tidy.
Yeah, that's not me. Why would you think that's me?
I don't know. You're the two people I know that watch A Good Place religiously like me.
We've been watching a lot of Nailed It at home.
That is such a good choice.
We watch Nailed It Mexico and all this. Her favourite episodes are any time that there's an old duck lady on who wants to flirt with Jacques Torres. That happens more than you'd think. But like there was one episode where there's a proper Southern Belle on a whale. I don't know how my cake, my bacon's doing today, but I don't even mind. I'm just getting lost in Jack's beautiful eyes. He starts talking with that accent, and I just, baby, you want to butter me up.
I don't know how she can see his eyes over those teeth. They're very white.
They're very white.
Did you see the episode? Oh, I can't remember her name. She's a comedian. Got blonde hair, quite tall.
Nikki Glaser?
Maybe. I can't remember her name. Anyway, there's a lady who's very frazzled. But in a this is just how my life always is kind of way, it didn't matter. She was in a competition. She was so far behind whatever the task was that she ended up going into the pantry to get stuff for this lady because she felt sorry for her. And I love it. And nobody cared. And I think we talked about it not long ago, but I can't remember who it was, but one of the guests is like, is this wrapping up soon? Because I got to go pick my kids up.
Yeah.
It was a guy. It was a comedian. I'm sure it was a comedian. And he came back and Nicole was like, yeah, sure, just go. Yeah, don't worry about it.
I can't remember who it is, but I remember being hilarious. Was it Joel McHale? No, it was someone like that.
Someone like that. Yeah, so.
Nicole Byer, Good Place. Yes, please.
Yeah, I need more of her.
I don't need to see the Good Place committee again.
No, they're
ineffectual.
Yeah, they really are.
They've
and I understand
purpose.
That's the point, but they are ineffectual. What if she is God?
What if who?
Nicole Byers is God, and they've already met.
Oh, then I think we're a lot more screwed than any of us ever expected.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, I just love dogs.
Good Place.
Who else can be in heaven? If you've got one person that you can cast, not for God, but another person who's going to be waiting for them in heaven, and keep in mind that they got Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
For a throwaway joke role that absolutely landed. They can get anyone they want. Who's that person that's so good that they're in heaven already waiting?
Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's a good one. Even though she's not dead, she still belongs.
Yeah. Well, I think what you find out is that she's not of us.
Oh, sure.
She's not a mere mortal.
I think I want Sam Rockwell.
Mm.
I know he's played some scumbag.
But he also doesn't as he's, well. He can play both.
He's the most earnest guy around.
Yeah.
There are times when he's just an excitable puppy dog, and that's what I want.
Do you know what character I actually want in heaven? I want Brent.
You want to see him come good? Yeah, I do need to check in with those guys again. We need to see I'm the same about John. I want to know what happened with John.
Mm.
He seemed to be improving, and that's what this new season, the new setup is about, improvement. Get him in there.
And Disco Janet as well. A bit wary about Disco Janet.
There's a great video. I think it went out on Instagram or something, but it's Janet and she's holding a giant fishbowl with all the
the Janets.
And she leans in and she says, I'll look after your sisters.
Yeah, I think it was on Instagram.
Yeah, it was nice.
Are you ready for a would you rather?
I'd rather not.
This is a different actor for a famous role. Okay. So I'm going to give you the role and I'm going to give you two actors. And
yes.
You don't have to rapid fire it. You can rapid fire it just however you want.
All right.
Forrest Gump, would you rather Bill Murray or Michael Keaton?
Oh, Michael Keaton, for sure. 100%.
But do you know who I reckon they would have cast before? They would have cast Bill Murray over Michael Keaton.
Sure, but Bill Murray is...
He would have played Bill Murray. He would have played Peter from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It would have been a different vibe.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton in Multiplicity has he plays one, I think the fourth clone who is a little bit...
Is that the one who's gone wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
One Peter. Shades of Forrest Gump. Very slight shades of it in there.
Which movie would have come first, do you reckon? When was Forrest Gump? Was that
Forrest Gump was
94.
Multiplicity was about 94. It might have been 97.
A bit later.
I think it was just before Nutty Professor. Because there was a bit of a spate of, hey, let's get a comedian to play several roles in one film.
And pay the, we don't have to pay as many actors.
Yep.
What about The Terminator? If your choice is Chuck Norris or Sylvester Stallone?
I don't know if I can see it working for either of them.
Out of the two of them,
Stallone. Because Norris smirks too much.
I could see Norris being the Mercury Terminator.
Yes, I could see Norris. T-1000. Very much. I can see that. But yeah. Yeah, okay. So young Stallone as evil Terminator works. I don't see Stallone working as T2, like T-800 good version.
It really is a role for Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it?
Because he looks unhuman.
Chuck Norris would, he'd need to shave the beard though, and I don't think that would.
I don't think there's anything strong enough that can.
Let's mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
Miss Daisy from the movie Driving Miss Daisy. Your two choices are Angela Lansbury or Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
I'm so glad you went with that one.
Everything.
Yeah. Instead of Elizabeth Taylor, my initial choice was to go Audrey Hepburn. But then I thought, no, I need someone who's different.
Yeah.
Because Audrey's just lovely.
I want to see Lansbury in anything.
Yeah.
I would see, how good would The Terminator be without Angela Lansbury in it?
I mean, let's just...
Would you put her as Terminator or as Sarah Connor?
Oh, Sarah Connor.
Imagine an ass-kicking Murder, She Wrote era Angela Lansbury.
With a shotgun.
Taking on the Terminator.
And what was her name in Murder, She Wrote? Jessica Fletcher.
Hmm.
She was around an awful lot of murders.
Do you remember? She'd know a thing or two. She'd sussed that the T-1000 had gone and killed his parents over the phone.
It's not right.
Not right.
Okay, what about this one? Marty McFly. So I thought, all right, we knew...
Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz was the original Marty McFly.
Really?
Yeah, they filmed a month of footage and he just wasn't working out, so he got the boot.
Huh.
This is pre-mask and everything. Like, seriously, there's so much about this. There's footage and everything. Go and check this out. It's insane. The film has a completely different tone. He's playing it so much more serious and exasperated by the science of it.
I actually can't picture it without... Michael J. Fox, but...
Sorry, I've derailed your quiz, but
No. David Faustino or Kirk Cameron, because I was trying to think like sitcoms.
Sure.
Who would you rather play Marty McFly out of those two?
I think Dave Faustino, just because I would love to see a Bart Simpson-style version of Marty.
A little dirtier.
Yeah, and I'm really not into this.
Yeah.
Not as excited...
Where I think the Kirk Cameron would be your Michael J. Fox without the Michael J. Fox magic.
Yeah, not quite as charming.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah, super close.
Very, I could, what about
the winning smile.
What about Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman would have been perfect.
Yeah. You didn't even need to put that in there, I guess.
No, it's Jason Bateman. Yeah. Let's go a little newer.
Okay.
Geralt of Rivia, The Witcher. Kit Harington or Hugh Jackman. So you got two different sort of... approaches there.
I'll give it to Hugh Jackman because then he'd probably sing the bard song.
Yes, he's tossing a coin to himself. I think I'd go Hugh Jackman as well.
He'd be tossing it in the bath, like the coin.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else would you mean, right?
Kit Harington's busy enough.
Cutting his hair?
No, he's in the Eternals.
Oh, he is too.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, if it wasn't going to be Henry Cavill... I think Hugh Jackman would have been great because Geralt doesn't have to be a young bloke. Geralt has to have seen stuff.
What about Russell Crowe? Like maybe not Russell Crowe now.
Russell Crowe from the year 2000?
Oh.
Or a little later?
Maybe a little bit later. Angry Rusty.
He's got the voice.
I want to say mid-2000s, like throwing phone Rusty.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, the scenes with Yennefer would be interesting.
I think it was the same period that he broke up Dennis Quaid and Meg mm-hmm. Ryan and took Meg Ryan. There was just this three or four year period.
Yeah, for moments.
Yeah, where Rusty just fucking hated the media. Excuse the French. He just fucking hated it.
Yeah.
And just barred up everyone. I could see that being great, Geralt.
So many different Geralts.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? You think of Terminator, you struggle. You think of Marty McFly, you struggle. Geralt, there's a whole heap of different directions.
Partly that's because there was a book and a game and there's different versions.
I think so. We're looking at Terminator and the very first thing we saw of Terminator was Arnold Schwarzenegger. We knew Arnold Schwarzenegger before we knew Terminator.
Yeah. I can't think of who would even work as Terminator. Like, I know they've tried with different people.
Shirley Manson from Garbage.
Okay.
Well, I know that she was in the, was it a show?
Yeah, the
she
Sarah
wasn't Terminator, but.
Lena Headley was Sarah Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the son is Thomas Dekker. I can't remember.
Final one.
Yes.
This one I think is also one that you could attach different people to.
Okay.
Julia Roberts made Erin Brockovich famous.
Yes.
But would you rather Sandra Bullock or Laura Dern?
Sandra Bullock.
I would say Laura Dern. I can see her getting exasperated with the legal system.
I should be picking Laura Dern. I'm wearing a shirt that has Sam Neill in Jeff Goldblum's position from Jurassic Park. I'm clearly a Laura Dern fan, but I can see.
You can see Sandra?
I watched Miss Congeniality at like New Year's when we were away with Shane. We had to go. She was sick and wanted to go to bed early.
Movie.
So we watched. God. Sandra Bullock is funny.
She's so funny.
I wanted to stop doing Blindside and like I Gravity was amazing. Don't get me wrong, but I love the
even
cheesy
her in
comedies.
Speed is she's great.
What's the one with Ryan Reynolds where she's the boss and she texts him too much or something? Is it not just Married? Was it? It's not the one where Ryan Reynolds
wasn't
was fat.
While you were sleeping. No, that was Just Friends. That had Amy
the
Smart
proposal
in
or
it.
Something.
Oh, the was she in The Proposal? Yeah, The Proposal, 2009. I forgot about that.
I remember all of those cheesy things and things like The Lake House and stuff like that, her art fair. But give me funny. And I could see her doing a very fun, sassy, sullen Erin Brockovich.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm getting at. Like Laura Dern would do an amazing job and I probably would do the southern accent even easier.
Yeah.
But I could see Sandy having a lot of fun. And she hasn't done a straight-up comedy in a couple of years and she tends to do one every 4 to 5 years and remind everyone that she's a very...
I can do everything.
Yes.
And she can.
I've heard she can balance cups on her nose while trampolining.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
And doing, like, Lady Macbeth monologues at the same time.
Yeah.
Because she's a thespian. Well, that was a good. I was a good. Would you rather?
I enjoyed that. Well done. Mm. Thank you.
It was like it was not so much a get it right or else. It was a discussion.
It
was thoroughly enjoyable.
Mm.
If you have any quizzes or would you rather's or whatever you just want to say hello, email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Or if you want to open a zip folder on your computer, you can scream loudly at the screen and then cup your hands over it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wish upon a star, that will make it to us as well.
That's not as complicated as you would think.
No, just screaming into the void.
There's a little – I think there are less steps in that than sending an email.
Oh, there's probably four less zeros and ones.
Yeah, binary for sure. On that note, or on those zeros and ones, Tom, thank you. Was that like R2?
Yeah.